Wednesday, March 15th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. We got your sleepers and breakouts. We're going to talk about some players that we haven't discussed all that much, like some Phillies pitchers, Elvis Andrews, a little more on Dustin Pedroia, Julio Arias and his innings limit. We got plenty of news. We're going to update you on AJ Pollock, on Tom Murphy, who was out 4 to 6 weeks, damn it, with a broken forearm. And update you on the podcast league. But I'm going to start with Chris Towers. Are you fired up about Puerto Rico? Big win yesterday.
It's been a ton of fun. I was watching that game. Javi Baez is officially the best player in baseball.
Oh.
And
wow.
Yeah, it's been great.
What did he do? Anything offensively or just defensively?
No, just the tag.
Oh, I haven't
Most
seen it.
Most people have not seen this.
Haven't seen
well,
it.
Well, you need to go check it out because it
no
is...
one is going to be as excited as you are. Like, you're overplaying this.
That is not true. The entire baseball internet was set aflame.
That's really not true.
I literally just got a text alert from MLB at bat saying that everybody is talking about Javi Baez's tag. So, sir.
So, wait, the game ended on a play at second base?
No, it was just a
random play in the middle of the game.
It was in like the eighth inning in a key moment.
I mean, it sounds like the kind of things people were talking about Javier Baez in the postseason last year, right? He'd make this flashy play at second base.
To be clear, the catcher threw a runner out at second.
Molina.
The throw was right on target.
Yeah.
He caught the ball and dropped the glove on the runner.
Yes,
there was nothing spectacular about the play at all.
It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I'm watching it.
He was looking at the catcher. He's not even looking at the ball as he grabs it because he's looking and pointing at Yadier Molina, celebrating the throw before he even catches
the ball. It's pretty cool.
Scott White.
I mean, I didn't see it, so.
But you've heard the explanation.
Yeah.
It was a no-look catch and tag solely because he was congratulating his teammate, not for
right.
any reason of spectacular need.
It may well have been a pretty cool
It is.
Visual.
It was fantastic.
I don't know that it's anything beyond that, though. Like,
All
it's
right.
flashy. It's unnecessarily flashy, maybe, but I'm sure it was interesting to watch.
Scott is still battling spring training illness. Been going on. It's like Noah Syndergaard. It's
right. I feel like he said he's been dealing with his for a month and a half. That's what it seems like for me too.
Yeah, it might be bronchitis, buddy. You should get that checked out. Let's read. let's read some sleepers, breakouts, suggestions from the listeners. This is going to be a productive show. I'm pumped up about it. Here we go. Adam from Indiana says, "Dear PJ, Matthias, Vince, Haas, and Biggie." None of you are going to get that. I'll tell you what it is in a moment. So far in spring training, Jose Martinez is the leader or is tied for the lead on the Cardinals in triples, doubles, dinger derby, dong shacks. Okay, that's another day for home runs. Runs, oh, RBIs, hits, slugging, OPS. Yes, actually, Jose Martinez having a huge spring for the Cardinals. He's 28. Do you guys see a possible big season coming from Jose Martinez? P.S. The greetings were Purdue players in light of my Boilermakers being in the NCAA tourney. Boiler up! So he's got March Madness. That's good to know. But does Jose Martinez have fantasy baseball madness?
No.
No?
He seems kind of low-key today, right?
Yeah. He's mad at me.
What did you
I'm
do?
I'm not mad at you at all.
What happened?
We had technical issues before the start of the show. He
That's
got
not
mad at
your
me.
Fault.
Okay, good.
No, I'm not. I'm not mad at you at all. Is someone going to disagree with me that Jose Martinez has fantasy baseball appeal this year? Do we want to start drafting Jose Martinez?
No.
Okay.
Let's move on then. Love it.
It reminds me of like Abraham Nunez, I believe is his name. He was a non-prospect for the Marlins who had like 9 home runs in spring training one year and people got really excited about it. Turned out to be nothing.
Well, this one will be more exciting then. From Eric, breakout suggestion is Ryan Healy. He's predicting 290, 29 home runs, 90 RBIs for Ryan Healy, who's 25 years old and actually was better than that in 72 games last year. 305 with 13 homers and 20 doubles. Very impressive. Ryan Healy, Scott, I'll let you. I know you kind of like Ryan Healy. Maybe you all do, but Scott, I'll throw this one to you first. Ryan Healy breakout.
I mean, I can't promise that won't happen. It seems super optimistic to me. I think maybe the base skills are there for that at some point in his career, but he didn't show that kind of power until he got to the majors last year. And when he got to the majors, his strikeout rate when it seemed to support that kind of batting average. So there's just like the numbers just don't add up to that kind of production yet. It would require him doing something very different.
I think he's maybe a little high on the batting average, but I don't like when we're talking about breakout candidates, if we're looking at these as things that probably won't happen, kind of mix in a little bold prediction from last week. I like this as a bold breakout candidate.
Okay. Now, Healy is third base eligible right now, but he's going to DH and play some first base for Oakland, so he'll get the eligibility at first base. And let's see. Would you guys rather have Healy or Solarte?
Solarte.
Probably Solarte, but I do think Healy's someone that I want some exposure to. He's another guy who, like Gene Segura or AJ Pollock or Josh Donaldson, has made mechanical adjustments to his swing, lowering his hands, getting more lift on the ball. So that could explain the career-high 27 home runs he hit in 2016 between AA, AAA, and the majors.
Are you going to put together a roster of the all trying to lift the ball team?
My teams that win.
And then we could talk about, Chris wrote a piece on CBSSports.com about guys that are trying to lift the ball this year.
Well, we haven't really promoted that, a Chris Towers article in a while.
He did it yesterday.
He did?
Yes.
Adam I have it. Yeah. Ryan Healy or Mike Moustakas?
Healy.
Healy.
I agree.
All right, Healy it is. Joe from Snowed in Poughkeepsie. By the way, that blizzard yesterday, like, come on. You can do better than that. Stella, was that her name?
Stella?
I think it was the storm. They name every storm now.
So if it kind of swung back around and dumped 12 inches on you tomorrow, would you say that Stella got her groove back?
Booyah. All right. So Joe says, hey, Miguel, Jose, and Byron, are they all twins?
I think they're twins' disappointing prospects so far.
Oh, Barrios. Okay. I'm predicting a big breakout this season from Miguel Sano. He's going to lead the American League in home runs and get his batting average up to 250 while doing so. Sano might even get to 100 RBIs on that anemic Twins team just by sheer number of home runs. P.S. Twitter is the worst.
I'm with Joe on everything but Twitter.
Yeah, he's definitely, in terms of raw ability, I think he's right there with Giancarlo Stanton or any other power hitter in baseball. The strikeouts are an issue, though. He needs all he needs to do really is get the strikeout rate to like 30%.
All right,
it's just asking him to be the worst strikeout hitter in baseball instead of the worst ever.
So I don't know if I asked. I talked about these two guys maybe as recently as yesterday, but who do you rank ahead, Franco or Sano?
Franco in points, Sano in roto.
Why? Why would it be different?
I think Sano is going to strike out a lot more than Franco.
Yeah.
Okay, but isn't he also going to walk a lot more than Franco?
I don't think the difference will be as big. I think he'll hit more home runs than Franco. I think Franco will hit for a better average.
Okay. I have Franco ahead in both just because, well, no, wait a second. Maybe I have Sano ahead in both. I can't remember.
They're similar. They're very similar.
Right. It's like,
with similar upside.
You're gambling on big production from what could be small production.
I think Franco has a chance to be like a 280 hitter. When he says Sano's going to get his average up to 250, that's optimistic.
I look at these guys, like Sano, yeah, the 250 could be optimistic. On the other hand, we've seen Giancarlo Stanton post batting averages in the 280s or 290s. I look at it and I think like Franco's upside is like a late era Adrian Beltre season, and Sano's upside is like a prime Stanton healthy season.
So you're saying he
like what we've seen of Adrian Beltre the last couple of years.
Like for Franco's safer, right? But Sano's probably more rewarding. I think Franco's right.
Definitely Franco's like, safer, but I don't know that it's
a situation where I'd always take one over the other.
Yeah.
anyway, like regardless of how I happen to have them ranked. Like it would just depend on if I'm looking for the high variance guy or if I'm looking for a little bit of safety.
Okay. Yep. All right, then. Well, thank you for a good round of sleepers and breakouts, listeners. Next week is bust week from you listeners. If you want to email us with your bust suggestions, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put busts in the subject line. You got to listen to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. It is fast rising in the iTunes rankings, and they're doing a great job. Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, today they should be breaking down the brackets, so I am going to take a listen to that, get my bracket out, and fill it out. And if you want in the podcast league, there are two ways to do that. You can win our bracket challenge after the Elite Eight if you're in the lead. I'll be breaking any ties just randomly. I can send you a link. I've been doing that a lot to the bracket challenge, or you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Heath is at Heath Cummings Sr. Scott is at CBS Scott White. Heath is actually at Heath Cummings SR, Heath Cummings SR. And Chris is at C Towers CBS. And the other way is to submit your limerick and get that to fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. The draft for the podcast league is Wednesday, March 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make that time, please don't submit. But yeah, I announced it yesterday. We want a fun, funny limerick, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We've gotten some good ones so far. We got about 50, hoping to get at least 10 times that many. And we'll be doing two podcast leagues.
I just want to shout out to the readers. The emails have been fantastic lately.
They have. They really have. You guys are stepping it up. It's awesome stuff. And make sure you play your fantasy baseball on CBSSports.com. Go to CBSSports.com/baseball and sign up. There's a game style for you no matter how you're playing. You can start your own league with custom rules. You can compete for cash in a prize league or create or join a free league with standard scoring. That's CBSSports.com/baseball. Sign up right now. We have to talk about the injuries. There's, by the way, in case you have forgotten, and I did forget until yesterday, there is a 10-day DL this year, not a 15-day DL. So if you have a guy like Max Scherzer who might start the season on the DL, or Jason Kipnis, maybe Devin Travis, although he continues to make progress, you know, that they can backdate everything, but it's better to have a 10-day DL than a 15-day DL. Let's be honest here. So I'm going to go through the notes. You guys step in when we get to something important. Probably a lot of things. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts expects Corey Seager to be ready for opening day. Anything here? No? Okay.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. I do too. I think everybody keeps forgetting Corey Seager missed much more of last spring than he has of this spring. There's still almost 3 weeks of spring training to go. It's been the slowest, longest spring training ever.
It started a little
since the last WBC.
Yeah,
it started a little early.
But it's easy to forget that, is what I'm saying. Like, we got a long way to go.
Yeah. Carlos Carrasco has swelling in his elbow. Carrasco needed an MRI yesterday after he gave up 8 runs in an inning and 2/3 in his last spring start. So they said, what's going on with Carrasco? They took an MRI. He has swelling, no structural damage. Now, you might remember Carrasco missed time last year, but it was with a broken hand. So this is not a chronic thing. But it's also not a good thing for someone that we have high hopes for. Your reaction to the Carlos Carrasco news?
I dropped him in my rankings to just in front of David Price. I feel, for some reason, a little better about Price's long-term prognosis, but he's also guaranteed to miss a little bit of the season, it sounds like, and Carrasco isn't yet, so...
Who is that behind when you say he's ahead of Price? Like, what healthy pitcher is that behind?
I believe it's right in the Garrett Cole range.
Yeah, so you have Carlos Martinez 16, Salazar 17, Garrett Cole 18, Carrasco Price.
Yes.
Okay. The thing about Carrasco is like we know he's injury prone. We didn't have to worry. Like the one thing we could always say was, well, at least his arm's healthy, and obviously that's not the case now. I haven't decided if I'm going to move him down or not. I had been tempted to move him ahead of Jacob DeGrom, but DeGrom's looked so healthy this spring.
Yeah, he was like hitting 97 yesterday.
I think it's no contest now. I might move Carrasco behind, like, Strasburg because of this, but I don't know. I'm not going to drop him as far as Heath. I still think I'd take him over, like, Cole Hamels. Obviously, if there's more developments on this, then that might change. But just as it stands now, I imagine he'll be shut down for a week or so, and then we'll see what happens next.
That's a big development, Chris, for Jacob deGrom. You've talked about velocity, and it was down last year for deGrom. I probably said this 15,000 times last year and already like 14,000 times this year, but it was acknowledged that Jacob deGrom struggled last year because of the workload with the World Series run the previous season. So this is a great, great start for him. And when Jacob deGrom is healthy and when he's right, he's one of the very, very best pitchers in baseball, in my opinion. I don't think you would disagree.
No. Anybody who has the kind of control he does and the strikeout rate that he has had at his best, last year was, unsurprisingly, the worst strikeout season of his career. He was still above average, but the fact that he's throwing this hard, I think, is a great sign. He's probably up 4 miles per hour from where he was a year ago at the same time, so I think that's a great sign.
Yeah, DeGrom in 2015 was the number 9 starting pitcher in fantasy in both points and Roto, but he threw fewer innings than all of the 8 guys ahead of him, so he was better than that on a per-inning basis, 2.54 ERA, 0.98 whip, and 205 strikeouts in 191 innings. So are we close to considering DeGrom as one of the aces in fantasy right now?
Yeah, I think he probably should be.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Ian Desmond underwent hand surgery. We're looking at maybe a late April return for Ian Desmond.
That feels like one where it's like a late April return to being healthy, and then 2 more weeks after that to actually get into the majors, assuming no setbacks. I'm not expecting Ian Desmond to play in April.
But I will say that the late April quote was specifically used by the manager in saying, we expect him back with the club in late April.
Yeah.
That could be wrong.
I wouldn't expect him to play in the majors in April. I wouldn't draft him with that expectation. I would say, and I was looking at it, I think they play 26 games in the month of April. I'm putting a ceiling at 135 games for him. Like that to me seems like a best case scenario, assuming, you know, he doesn't have a sprained ankle that costs him 6 games later on in the season, or, you know, it just, I think Desmond does need to be downgraded quite significantly.
You said, Chris, you said Desmond would be around 100th for you, right?
Yes.
Heath, Scott, are you guys a little higher on Desmond?
I think
technically I have Chris. Chris and I both have him 101 in Roto, so I guess technically no. Although I don't, like, just the way he categorized it, he needs to be downgraded significantly. I don't know that I downgraded him.
I dropped him.
I don't feel like it's a significant downgrade. I downgraded him appropriately.
I dropped him 50 spots.
Like, I took him in the 6th round of an NL-only Roto draft yesterday, and it was only a 10-teamer, so that would have been like a 5th rounder. Which would translate, I guess, to maybe like a 10th rounder in a mixed league.
It's a pretty big downgrade.
Still, like, and I think it's a good value at that point. 10th round for three quarters of a season of Ian Desmond in Colorado.
You had him as a 4th rounder before the injury, right?
Borderline 4th, 5th, yeah. And I dropped him down to right around 102.
So I guess we're just arguing over what significant means.
It's pretty significant to me.
All right. Okay. So he's gone from, like, let's say on average like a 5th round pick, Ian Desmond, in a 12 team league to about 100th overall. So
around a 9th round pick.
Yeah. I did get an email from somebody saying that we should use overall numbers more instead of what round. I will try to do both. I will try to do both going forward. Tom Murphy, Colorado catcher, he broke his forearm and he is out 4 to 6 weeks. So, wow, my auction team, Kipnis, Devin Travis, Tom Murphy, can we do it again? Can we auction
real
again?
Real bad week for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, seriously.
I think this is, like, it's the shorter timetable than Ian Desmond's, and, you know, David Dahl doesn't have a timetable. His could be shorter, I guess. We don't really know. It sounds like the least serious injury of the three, but it's the most, I think, condemning injury of the three.
Who, Murphy's?
Because now he has to unseat an already established Tony Walters when he comes back. And assuming Walters is doing everything he's supposed to do defensively, great pitch framer, pitchers all love working to him. Like, unless he's hitting below 200, that might be hard to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you can only justify dropping Murphy so much because there's so few catchers with his hitting ability, But I moved him behind Walters, the very least. And I'm going to take him out of my sleepers column because it's too low probability of a sleeper for me now.
It depends when he gets back. 6 of their first 10 games are at home, and then they've got like 6 straight on the road after that. If Tom Murphy hits really well in Colorado and the early numbers are positive, it might be hard for him to lose playing time.
Tony Walters,
sorry.
Meh, that's a good point, but I think you could get Murphy at such a discount now, and in a roto league especially, where you're not like losing week 1, week 2, week 3, and you could struggle for a little bit and then get production from Murphy. Like, he might be, after a month or so, they're not going to just give up on the guy because he broke his forearm. So,
right, but I don't know how high they were on him to begin with.
Yeah, we were expecting a pretty even split before this.
Yeah.
Which would be
so that's
good.
That's the issue.
Like,
but, I mean,
split, yeah.
Your point isn't lost either. Like, with this injury, like, it removes the confidence I had in Murphy, but he went from being a late rounder in a two-catcher league to a late rounder in a two-catcher league just because that's the way the player pool breaks down. I'm not sure you're going to pay that much less for him now, and I'm not sure he deserves to be paid that much less. It's just you're not as confident with what you're getting anymore.
Okay. Anthony DeSclafani will be shut down for up to a month with an elbow sprain, so I'm just kind of rehashing some old news. David Price says his elbow's feeling better, but he will almost certainly begin the year on the DL. But so far, you know, good progress. So it's up to you fantasy owners how much you're going to trust David Price, but you know, Heath already said he's right there in the Carrasco range, like 20th. I think everybody's pretty similar on Price, right?
Yeah.
16th mm-hmm. for Scott, 14th for Chris, and 20th
yeah,
for Heath.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Behind DeGrom, ahead of Cole Hamels. Max Scherzer says he'll be ready for the start of the season, but that's not a guarantee with Scherzer. It won't be much longer. He has not gone back to the original grip yet, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
So, what kind of confidence do you have in Max Scherzer right now? Is it improving at all?
Maybe a little. I need to see him pitch in actual competition with that new grip. If he goes out there and strikes out 6 3 innings or something, okay. Probably not something to worry about, but we got to see it happen first.
All right, so Scherzer or Bumgarner?
Bumgarner.
I still have
Scherzer ranked ahead.
But when it comes down to it, are you drafting Scherzer in the second round?
Well, I don't have to make that because, like, I never draft Scherzer or Bumgarner. So,
but, like, there's times when he's the best player available according to your rankings, and you just don't take him.
And the same has been true for Bumgarner. I just don't like taking a pitcher that early. So,
okay,
it's not something I could test, but top of mind, I say Scherzer ahead still.
If you're in an AL-only league, Andrew Cashner, Rangers pitcher, he's making progress as he recovers from a biceps injury. Might not miss too much time, but Cashner will start the season on the DL. Noah Syndergaard has bronchitis for weeks and weeks. Get well soon, buddy. Talked about Charlie Tilson yesterday, Chicago White Sox outfielder. I talked about it very late in the show, so if you missed it, he's supposed to be the starter. He has a setback in his foot. He has a stress reaction in his foot. Tilson could be out a little while, but when he comes back, if you need some steals, Charlie Tilson, 46 steals at AA last year. Another big day for Mitch Haniger and another steal. Woo! Mitch Haniger alert. Anybody other than Scott want to get pumped about this?
I mean, add him to the list. Guys who changed their swing.
I think he's in my top 300 now.
Okay, great.
Is that excited?
Scott, is he in your top 200, Mitch Haniger?
No, he's not. I keep trying to move him up more in the outfield rankings. I think I have him 68th, something like that. It's just there's a group there where it's hard to justify ranking him ahead of them. Sometimes I take him ahead of them just because I really want him, but that's where I have him right now. So still talking about a late rounder and pretty much only in 5 outfielder leagues. Just a lot more upside than some of them.
All right, Mitch Haniger. Keep on working there. AJ Pollock, he left Sunday's game with a groin injury. Any update on AJ Pollock?
Well, he said it was more of a cramp, and if it was a regular season situation, he'd probably just run around and feel better. He says that it's inspired him to like stretch out his groin before games, pre-workout stretching. I mean, who'd have thunk it, right?
Right.
Like, probably a good idea.
If you want tips on how to stretch out your groin before a game, it seems like you should call. It seems like you should call Anthony Rizzo. Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, because of the World Series thing?
Yeah, because of the World Series.
No, I got your joke.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm laughing.
Google it, everybody. And Tampa Bay signed Kevin Kiermaier to a 6-year contract extension. It could be worth up to $50 million. They like Kevin Kiermaier, and he's got some power, speed, and he's one of Scott's sleepers. And keep an eye on the website, Sleepers 2.0, Breakouts 2.0, Bust 2.0. They'll be coming out soon. Let's talk about prospects, and then I'll ask you about some players that we haven't talked much about, and we'll read a lot of emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Who are the prospects that will be mixed league relevant this year? Let's start with just seasonal leagues, and then we'll expand it to keepers and dynasties and things like that. Who are the prospects that should be, if not drafted, on the watch list in mixed leagues this year?
I think this Benintendi guy in
Boston.
Yeah,
we're not counting Benintendi, Dansby Swanson.
So we're just not going to count the guys that are going to be
relevant.
Well, the answer is nobody.
They are prospects, but they're also pretty established major league guys who are going to open the season in prominent places in their lineup. So.
Right. Like even Josh Bell, just because he's expected to make the roster. I'm thinking more guys who are expected to begin the year in the minors but come up soon enough to make an impact.
So you don't want guys that are going to make the roster at the beginning of the year?
You do. I just feel like we've already had plenty of opportunities to discuss them.
Yeah, okay, let's mention all those. Josh Bell, Andrew Benintendi, Dansby Swanson, probably Robert Gsellman.
Manuel Margot.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's probably it among the fantasy-relevant guys.
Okay, so yeah, we're talking like Moncada and beyond.
Well, Aaron Judge. I mean, there's probably some we missed there. If we want to be
JP Crawford.
Well, Crawford's not going to make opening day. All right, we're getting way too bogged down by the details here. Let's just talk about prospects we like. Okay, top of my list, Bradley Zimmer, with the kind of spring training he's had, and obviously the Indians have a couple of places they could fit him into their outfield. A guy who can play center field. Power speed contributor in the minors, has had strikeout issues, but has hit really well this spring. 353 batting average, showing some of that power and speed. And at age 24, I don't think they're going to be able to keep him down for long.
So
I think he'll
he's
be
ahead
able to place
of
Chisenhall or filling in for an injured Michael Brantley.
For this year, Scott, is Bradley Zimmer ahead of Yoan Moncada for you?
No, I'm drafting you on Moncada more than Zimmer, but like it wouldn't surprise me if Zimmer's up sooner, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's better when he does come up.
I will say that Moncada has had a pretty dreadful spring. He's already made 4 errors in like 38 opportunities, and he's got more strikeouts than total bases. I said this a lot over the winter and knowing that he could definitely prove me wrong in spring training, but I think June is definitely the best case scenario now.
Okay. Yeah, he just might not be ready. I mean, he wasn't ready last year, that's for sure, Moncada. All right, who else? Bradley Zimmer, Yoan Moncada, what else we got?
Jorge Alfaro could get a look before long. I would expect him. He's one of those guys I would expect to see at some point this year. Lewis Brinson's another guy. Cody Bellinger's getting a lot of hype for his spring, and I wonder if he might be getting overrated as a result of playing for a big market team, having a good spring, but the minor league numbers aren't quite there. Mid-800s OPS for the most part.
He's a guy who the evaluators seem to like more than...
Yeah.
But like no matter whose prospect list you look at, he's like a top 15, top 20 guy. I think he might be the lowest, actually, on my list. Bellinger.
Who is this? I missed this.
Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger. Oh, that's for the Dodgers.
First baseman.
Right.
It'd probably take... I mean, he's played some outfield, so I don't know if Andrew Toles doesn't pan
it's
out.
Also,
maybe
they have
he could
a
be up.
35-year-old first baseman who could get hurt.
Or if Gonzalez gets hurt, sure. Brinson's one who's high on my list. Like whichever of Domingo Santana and Keon Broxton doesn't pan out.
That's the problem, is they have too many guys right now that we all like.
One of them's not going to work out, though.
Ahmed Rosario has shot up the prospect rankings. He could get a chance if Asdrubal Cabrera gets hurt again or just struggles.
Ozzie Albies for the Braves.
Yep.
I imagine he will overtake Brandon Phillips at some point this year, no matter how Phillips performs. I don't know how relevant he'll be at what's become a pretty deep position, second base, but he can hit for average and he can run. Probably some extra base pop in there, even if he's not hitting home runs.
And there are a lot of starting pitchers
who
are on the cusp of the majors. Francis Martes, if some of those kind of bleh Houston Astros number 4 or 5 starting options struggle, Lucas Giolito should get another chance. Cal Quantrill?
Well, has he got to be up that soon? He was just drafted last year. I think he's a ways.
He got to high A last year.
That's a long way away.
Yeah, he's in the Padres organization.
You guys think Double A is a lot closer than I do, but high A is a long way.
He'll start in Double A this year, probably.
We should say which organization these prospects are from.
San Diego Padres, yeah. Cal Quantrill, Chicago White Sox, Lucas Giolito, Houston Astros, Francis Martes, Jeff Weaver still has an outside chance at...
Luke Weaver, Tyler Glasnow, and Jose De Leon are the three who probably won't make the opening day rotation, but probably will be up at some point in the first half. And they're all, they're all worth paying attention to in fantasy. I just feel like it's harder, particularly these days, for pitching prospects to make an immediate impact in fantasy than hitting prospects, just because everybody's so careful with the innings.
Yeah.
Josh Hader's one we haven't mentioned.
Yeah, Josh Hader for the Brewers.
He's their ace of the future and end of the year at AAA. The PCL, so he got kind of hit around, but good strikeout potential and was just outstanding at AA.
And let's mention Brent Honeywell of the Tampa Bay Rays with a deep repertoire of pitches, who can throw 97 miles an hour and has that crazy screwball that gets people so excited. He's probably second in line behind Jose De Leon for the Rays in the hierarchy, and they've probably got too many pitchers as is.
What is it with the PCL, by the way, that makes it such a hitter? Do they play on softball fields?
A lot of high elevation.
They do play on softball fields, Heath.
A lot of Rocky Mountain locations.
Yeah,
it's the same distance from left corner to right corner to center field. The bases are closer together.
60-foot bases? Okay.
The third baseman plays about 15 feet from home plate.
A lot of Rocky Mountain and desert.
Yeah, Albuquerque.
To give you a serious answer.
Everybody pitches underhand.
A lot of dry air, a lot of high altitude. Colorado Springs, Albuquerque, a lot of places like that.
Okay. Gotcha. So those are the prospects. Good stuff. Bradley Zimmer, going to put him on the old radar. I haven't been drafting any prospects so far in my mixed leagues, except for the ones that are already in the majors. But cool. Thank you. Good stuff. I think we'll save position battles for tomorrow. I want to talk about back end of the rotation stuff, especially in Houston and Boston. There are a lot of position battles, closer battles. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's do Team Name Tuesday on a Wednesday real quick here. It's from Dylan in Toronto, specifically for Chris Towers. You don't win friends with Saladino.
I like Tyler Saladino. I'm not sure I get the
you
reference.
You don't like Tyler Saladino.
I do like Tyler Saladino.
You don't win friends with salad is an expression, right?
It's from The Simpsons. It's one of the greatest Simpsons episodes ever. It's the barbecue episode.
Is that show still on?
Unfortunately, yes. But that episode...
Why do you want people to lose their jobs? That's so mean.
That's a good point. I don't want that. I don't want that. I hope they get very nice pensions. But, it's just not very good anymore.
They could just come up with a new show.
They could, yeah. That is truly one of the classic episodes. You don't win friends with salad, and good job saying you don't win friends. You messed up, Dylan. It's you don't win friends with salad, not make friends. But yeah, you don't win friends with Saladino. Let's talk about Tyler Saladino, because we actually got an email about him yesterday or the day before, Chris, and you got him in our mixed roto league. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, he's. I think to the top line is that he's played 161 games in the majors. He has 12 home runs and 19 stolen bases in that time. He's probably going to I mean, we don't think Yoan Makata is coming up until June, so he's got 2 months to prove himself. I think he can be a decent power-speed combination that you can take very late in your draft as a middle infielder.
But, like, 12 home runs and 19 stolen bases if you play every game of the season is not necessarily a thing that we're drafting, generally.
Okay, he was a much better stolen base guy in the minors.
Right.
25 stolen bases in 52 games at AAA Charlotte in 2015. I was just giving you what he's done in the majors. I think he has more potential for that, especially with stolen bases. I think he could be a 30 stolen base guy in a full season. That's what he did in 149 games between three AAA seasons.
Okay, I think I'm ready to stop talking about Tyler Saladino, but...
No!
That was good. That was good stuff. What do you think about the following players and scenarios? What do you think about Elvis Andrews finishing as the number 9 shortstop in both points and roto last year? It happened, and he is the 16th shortstop off the board, going in the 14th round of a 12-team league. I don't have the exact number, but late-round pick, Elvis Andrews, and in a shallower league, you're not even taking him. What do you think about that, man? Is Elvis Andrews underrated?
Yes. I think Elvis Andrews is underrated. You look at 2015 and 2016, and you probably see like the range of possibilities for Elvis Andrews at this point in his career, and a lot of the difference between the 2 years was just his batting average and run production numbers. He had, 10 more runs scored and RBI in 15 less games last year. But I feel really confident about him stealing 20 to 25 bases, maybe even with an upside of 30. He should be decent batting average, and he should score a decent number of runs.
I think it's too much of a power sacrifice for what's pretty modest steals total. I think he deserves to be drafted late.
Yeah, and like he hit 302 last year, but he had been a pretty consistent 260 to 270 guy before that with a peak of 286. So he doesn't really, he's not very likely to help you out in batting average much.
.270 is above average in a roto league in batting average when your roster's all said and done.
Right, but is it really worth paying for?
You're not paying for it.
You are.
He's dirt cheap.
I don't know if it's above average. I don't know if it's helpful. Like, it doesn't hurt you. And I guess if you can get a guy who will swipe some bases without hurting you in batting average, that's good, because sometimes you have to make that sacrifice. But he's probably a one-category contributor, and he doesn't do all that much in that one category.
Yeah, he's not like a one-category stud. He's just like... one category help.
25
and then steals.
Like maybe a half category for batting.
Yeah, I just feel like saying he's a one category contributor is completely disregarding the fact that he was a number 9 shortstop in 100.
Because he hit 302 for the he hit higher than 286 for the first time in his career.
And it becomes an attrition thing too. Like if one of the best years of his career he sneaks into the top 12. I guess he sneaks into the top 12 usually just by virtue of staying healthy, but it's like, how impactful is he when he's in the lineup relative to all the really high upside shortstops when they're in the lineup? And it's just not, there's no comparison.
If he hits 258 again, he's definitely not going to be a top 10 shortstop.
Right. Elvis Andrews we're talking about here, he was the number 6 shortstop in Roto in 2015, but the position changed so much that he wouldn't have finished 6th with those same numbers last year.
I look at what he did in 2015, and that's pretty replaceable.
Is it though? Because like the thing is, you can't underestimate in a deeper league that he does stay healthy, Elvis Andrews, consistently, and he puts up at the end of the year, he puts up respectable numbers on a per game basis. Yeah, like that's
right, but
why
one DL trip in May, and you're probably dropping.
Yeah,
and the 258. From 2015 is the pretty clear outlier.
No.
He's a career 274 hitter.
He hit 263 the year before.
258 is the worst batting average of his career.
258 is not an outlier when you hit 263 the year before.
When your career average is 274.
That's okay.
All right.
That's
all right,
five hits and 1,000 plate appearances, Heath.
Moving on. Julio Urías. What do you think about Julio Urías' innings limit, and how should that affect how we draft Urías?
You shouldn't draft him.
Why?
Like, I just don't think the odds that you get 100 good innings out of Julio Urías in the major leagues seem pretty low.
I think he's going to be very good.
He's awesome.
This year?
Yes.
On a per inning basis, yeah, I think so too.
But like he was quite good already last season.
But how long will you have to stash him on a bench spot? Because obviously not DL. He would be pitching in extended spring training or the minors if they hold him back.
Yeah.
You just have to keep him in a bench spot. It's almost like drafting and stashing a De Leon or Tyler Glass now, yeah. But with more assurance that they're going to pitch well when they do arrive. It's hard to justify in round 10, 12, wherever he's going on average.
He's actually, his ADP is only 177. It's worth noting. I think that's far. He's 149 at CBS.
At CBS. Okay, so like a 12th rounder in a 12 team league.
That's probably too early.
This is Julio Reyes.
He's going earlier than Blake Snell, right?
I'd rather have him than Snell, personally.
Yeah,
I mean, he had basically the same problem that Blake Snell had last year.
But we're going to.
And he had a 1.45 whip.
He doesn't have nearly the control.
Yeah, his walk rate was a lot better than Blake
historically Snell's. that Snell has. Like Snell, like Jim, the way Jim Hickey was talking about Snell's performance yesterday when he walked five was like he better step it up next time out or his job may be in jeopardy.
Yeah, Blake Snell had a 12.7% walk rate, 24.4% strikeout rate last season. Julio Urias was at 25% strikeout.
Which is the same thing, basically.
9.2% walk rate, which is what I was going to get to.
Yeah, so Urias in Fantasy Pros, he's going before Jake Odorizzi, which we would do that, right?
Yep.
Going before Sonny Gray at this point. Would you do that?
Yes.
He's going before Vince Velasquez.
I'd rather have Velasquez.
It's not close.
I'll take Urias there.
And he's going before Carlos Rodon, which surprises me.
Yeah, I'd rather have Rodon.
We'd rather have Rodon.
Okay, so Rodon undervalued. What do you think about Michael Fulmer being a top 15 starting pitcher this season? He had a 10-start stretch last year with a .83 ERA, was one of the best pitchers in baseball. What do you think about Michael Fulmer being a top 15 guy this year?
One thing that makes sense about him getting better as the season goes on is he did add a changeup to his repertoire and was developing it last season, so the fact that he got more comfortable with it as the season goes on is a promising sign. However, he's not going to be a top 15 starting pitcher.
I'd argue he didn't actually get better as the season went on because
his got worse,
strikeout
didn't he?
Rate got much worse in the second half. And it wasn't great to begin with. It was like 6.5 in the second half. After I see it as a situation where he introduced the changeup early in the year, caught everybody by surprise, but then the word kind of got out and he wasn't as effective anymore. Usually a pitcher who succeeds with the kind of strikeout rate Fulmer put up is either an elite ground ball guy or gets soft contact at an elite rate. He's pretty good at both, Fulmer is, but not a real standout in either. I feel like there was a lot of good luck to his performance. Now, he does throw 97, 98 miles per hour, so maybe with experience learning to sequence his pitches better, his strikeout rate could make a big leap. We saw that with Justin Verlander early in his career. But it's too speculative for me to invest in him based on where he's going. It's certainly too speculative for me to say he's going to be top 15 this year.
Who would you guys rather have, Lance McCullers or Michael Fulmer?
McCullers.
Yes, McCullers.
Okay, let's go to our next one. What do you think about Dustin Pedroia being a quote-unquote safe pick?
No, he's not.
Not safe?
Too injury prone. No. That's why he lasts as late as he does.
And there's a bit of just like, well, he's old and people don't get excited about drafting old guys.
It's not a standout anywhere except maybe batting average.
Yeah.
And runs, I guess.
In a head-to-head points league, sorry, Scott, in a head-to-head points league, if you're going to lead off with the Red Sox, and if you stay healthy, you're going to be startable. You're going to be worth starting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's the safety. But I think the other point I wanted to make about Pedroia is that last year he had a really good year, and he wasn't that good in previous seasons. He had kind of started to decline.
Well, that's kind of the issue. And it was because of health. It was because of a thumb injury one year and a wrist injury another year. He played one of those years with a torn, whatever that thing is in your thumb that you can tear.
Is it a sheath?
A sheath. Yeah. It's some kind of sheath.
Mm-hmm. He played the whole year with it. And so stands to reason he didn't hit for as much power.
Yeah.
Last year was his first healthy season in a while, and he got back to the 15 home run range, which is where we were seeing him for most of his career. So I think there's a direct correlation there. It's just 33 years old with that history. What's preventing the next injury, you know?
Okay, that's Dustin Pedroia. He was, I think, a top 8 second baseman last year in both formats. What do you think about Carlos Correa being this year's Mookie Betts, mid to late round second pick who gets himself into the early part of the first round next year? Heath, what do you think about Correa being this year's Mookie Betts?
I could see either Correa or George Springer making that leap this year. They're both still young enough, talented enough. Now, obviously, Correa is quite a bit younger than Springer is. I don't really think it's that big of a leap. I would like to see the increase in strikeouts that we saw in last year go back down. I'd like to see the power numbers from his rookie year come back a little bit, but I could absolutely see it. He's going to be in a lineup that I could see the Astros being this year's Red Sox lineup.
Yeah. All right. What do you think about Adam Duvall and his first and second half splits? Duvall was the 24th best outfielder in points leagues, 17th best in Roto last year. Before the All-Star break, Duvall hit 23 home runs. He slugged 551. After the All-Star break, he was bad. He hit 10 home runs. He slugged 434. But his plate discipline got a lot better. He walked 25 times after the All-Star break. This is a guy who has terrible, terrible plate discipline. What do you think about Adam Duvall? Chris, I've seen you kind of defend Adam Duvall. In fact, I think you said, quote, why do we hate Adam Duvall?
Yeah, he actually did lower his strikeout rate. Look, I don't think he's a star, but I think he's being a little undervalued. Part of that is that power is maybe not that hard to find, but I think he should be a pretty good source of power, given the park he plays in, given how we've seen that park boost home runs. He was a very good home run hitter in the minors, and yeah, I like him. He's an extreme fly ball guy, so the batting average might not be great, but the hard hit contact was there, 39%. I think he's going to be a pretty solid 30-plus homer guy.
I think you don't have to pay for him, which is why I've kind of come around on this a little. I had him in my busts 1.0, took him out for 2.0, because he's going in both formats in round 14 on average in a 12-team league.
CBS like, Sports, yeah.
You're not going to get a more... Like, you're not going to find a verified 30-homer guy at that point in the draft otherwise. So if you need to make up ground in power, the power categories, then Duvall may be your best bet to do so. I hate his profile. I hate the terrible plate discipline. Oh, I hate the profile.
But he could.
I can hate a profile.
Yeah, he could be Chris Davis with a K.
He could be.
Scott hates his profile.
He was last year.
Davis with a K's profile. I had him as a bust last year.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. Sometimes the profile does work out. I think often it does not. Jeff Francoeur is a well-known example. But
and specifically that profile does not walk enough, strikes out too much.
Does not walk enough, strikes out too much.
Yeah, I don't love that either, but if you're going to hit 47 to 50% of your balls in the air and hit the ball hard like he did last year, you know,
right, but
when you run into it, it's going to go a long way.
Yes, if he does that again. Like, was that the cause of the home runs or was that the result of
I guess my thing is he's always hit home runs. Like, home runs
in
have
the
never
minors,
home
yeah.
runs have never
a lot,
been an issue.
But like
for him.
that profile never reaches the majors if he doesn't hit a lot of home runs in the minors.
Like
that,
he wasn't Duvall was striking out 20% of the time in the minors.
Yeah, so it makes sense that
profile's
he's right
not terrible.
It makes sense that he's right around 25 to 28%, I would guess. It's not great, but it's not so bad that I think it's going to make the power play down in that park. You're looking at a guy in 2012 hit 30 home runs in the minors. 2014
okay.
hit 30 home runs between the majors and the minors.
Right.
Hit 34 in 2015. Like,
but the Giants didn't want him. He wasn't really a prospect.
That profile definitely doesn't play at Giants Park or at AT&T Park.
But it's not like teams were lining up to trade for Adam Duvall at a discount. He was just some lumbering slugger in the minors who
and
nobody thought would amount to much at the
and
majors.
And a bad team has to take a chance on guys like that.
But we
and
all agree that. Year. But we all agree what he is. I mean, he's a good source for power in the mid to late in the round 13 and beyond stage of your right. roto draft.
Jay Bruce is going ahead of him. I would much rather have Adam Duvall.
Why? I mean, Bruce has consistently done what Adam Duvall did last year. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
He's done it once in the last 3 years.
Well, ballpark could be a big
about?
Thing
He hits 30
here.
Home runs every year.
He hasn't lately.
Okay. Well, Bruce, I mean, look, Bruce moving away from Cincinnati, I think, is a big deal, right?
And yes.
Duvall's still there.
I don't think it is. I mean, he's such a good power hitter. City Field's a pretty good home run park.
I don't think they like him. They're dying to get Conforto in the lineup, and I think they're going to try to trade him as soon as they can. But I mean,
it's honestly weird to me that they're even considering playing Jay Bruce over at Michael Conforto.
It's a money thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
All right, let's do these last four really quickly here. What do you think about Ben Revere becoming fantasy relevant again with the Angels? And I just want to remind everybody, Ben Revere was a top 30 outfielder at least 2 years in a row before he had a terrible year last season and averaged like 45 steals over 106 in the previous 4 years, 2012 to 2015, on a 162 game basis, he was averaging 45 steals per season. So what do you think about Ben Revere? You have to beat out Cameron Maybin, but what do you think about him becoming fantasy relevant?
I don't think he's going to beat out Cameron Maybin. But if he were to beat out Cameron Maybin and the Angels were to put him in the leadoff spot, then I could absolutely see him becoming fantasy relevant again, because that Angels team's not good. But whoever's hitting leadoff or second is going to have a lot of run scoring opportunities because they get to hit in front of Mike Trout, just get on base. And Revere's still not, I mean, he'll turn 29 about 2 months into the season. He's not old enough to where you think he might just be completely done. He battled an injury last year.
His drop-off last year was so weird, and it looks like it was mostly just BABIP-related.
Well, he was hurt most of the year, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he played like 100 games or something, but Revere was, year after year after year, he hit right around 300, and he was on a 45 stolen base pace over 162 games, so I don't know.
I want to know why his BABIP went to crap last year. He never in his career had a fly ball rate over 19%. It was 26% last year. Yeah. He had a little Willie Mays Hayes disease.
All right. Well, I maybe more for AL-only owners. I wanted to put Ben Revere on the radar. What do you think about Gio Gonzalez being fantasy relevant again?
I like it.
Yeah. I think he's basically going undrafted across the board in every site the Fantasy Pros tracks.
He stinks.
I've got a piece coming out on CBSSports.com.
Oh, again.
Yeah, it's late round sources of wins. And I think Gonzalez is a good candidate. Joe Ross is on the list as well, because they're both being drafted very, very late. But he was really bad in terms of run prevention. I would argue a little unlucky last year, but still won 11 games. He gets the ERA under 4. He's got a chance to win.
Can I be the one who doesn't like Gio Gonzalez?
I liked him last year.
I thought his hit rate spiked in a way that was didn't really mesh with his peripherals, but then last year, like, it stayed the same.
Well, it like, did. His BABIP went from 341 to 316. It was a big difference.
Yeah, but he still gave up about 9.5 hits per 9 innings.
Okay, number of hits he gave up per, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and his whip was, again, terrible. 2 years in a row with a really bad whip and a bad ERA. It was like 3.75, and then it was over 4 in 2015, 2016. Like, if you get wins, you're still suffering in ERA and whip and not getting great strikeouts either from Gio Gonzalez.
And he's always had efficiency issues, which really limits his wins potential. I think he's just... Like, I'd rather have Jeremy Hellickson, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, he was going to be my next question, but we'll save Hellickson and Jared Eichhoff and some Brewers pitchers for tomorrow, because let's read some emails. Alex in Chicago, first time doing Roto after doing points leagues. Hoping you or the guys might know a spot to find past results of leagues. I don't. But he wants to know the target numbers to hit to win categories. So how many steals do you need? How many home runs? What's a good batting average? Stuff like that. Any advice? It obviously depends on league size, but any advice?
That would take a lot of research.
If you, I can speak in vague terms about a couple of the numbers. If you get to a 280 batting average, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably going to win it, right?
Yeah. If you can get to 180 steals, you're in great shape.
These sound like higher thresholds than are realistic.
Well, you can't. He has to win the category, not to finish fifth.
Okay, okay.
I would say probably more than 250 home runs.
That's a guess, but these are all guesses. That's a good guess, I think.
I never...
That's actually...
Go ahead.
I could probably do some research on that and figure it out.
But it depends. 10-team league, 12-team league, how many roster spots, how many hitters are starting, you know. So I'd never really pay attention to that. Just kind of feel it out and see how many... Like, how many guys on your team do you want that steal at least 20 bases? I'd like at least three.
It depends how many 40 to 50 steal guys you
have. That's also true. Yeah.
I like to get a couple of those, like really big steals guys. If I can't, then I'd probably want even more than three.
Yeah, I was thinking that sounds a little low. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next email. Bill from just east of Toronto. What, if any, fantasy relevance does Shin Soo Chu have?
He's a late round sleeper that you hope refines his past form. Yeah. That I am more willing to draft as a bench player in a three outfielder league. Like in a five outfielder league, you need more outfielders, but I'm not real interested in dedicating one of those starting spots to Shin Soo Chu.
Even at his best, he's not a big home run hitter. He doesn't steal bases anymore. Like if it's a league that rewards OBP instead of batting average, he becomes more attractive in the late rounds, but he's decidedly
he's
a late rounder.
He's someone who has more value in three outfielder points leagues, but he's hard to justify as someone who has any roster ability in that kind of short.
Some people play in five outfielder points leagues. So,
There, I think he's someone that you can draft as your fifth out.
Or even an on-base percentage league, you know, instead of batting average. But that's the point with Shin Soo Chu. From Jason, let's see. Who will be this year's former steady star turned stud out to pasture? Okay, so who's going to just, like, fall off the map, basically? And this is such an obvious answer, and it's clearly Andrew McCutchen.
It's clearly Albert Pujols, probably.
I think he's surpassed that point.
I think he had 40 home runs last year.
He's been at the Adam Jones level for about 4 years, or 2016 Adam Jones.
Adam Jones thing was referenced in the email by Jason, and I think it's a good point. Like Adam Jones is just over. Well, he's being drafted in like the 9th or 10th round in a 12-team league, which is great. But I've seen him drafted in the 6th round, and Adam Jones, because he doesn't steal bases anymore, because he doesn't stand out at batting average. He gives you about 30 home runs, which is good but not great in this landscape. Everything I say about Adam Jones applies to Andrew McCutchen, which is why McCutchen, to me, unless he improves
assuming last year was just the new normal for Andrew McCutchen.
He's older than Jones, isn't he? Or he's about the same age.
Sure, but I don't know. Adam Jones was Andrew McCutchen was a lot better as recently as a year ago.
I think he's 2 years younger than Adam Jones.
Is he? Sorry, then. I thought he was old. He wasn't.
My answer to this, I want to give a controversial one, and I've kind of hinted at it before, but Buster Posey may not be an elite catcher, like head and shoulders above everyone else anymore. You know, you're talking about he's almost 30. He turns 30 before opening day. The track record for catchers after 30, catchers age very, very poorly. I've looked it up. Now, I did it with wins above replacement, but I think there were only two catchers in the last 50 years to have multiple five-win seasons after the age of 30. That's Buster Posey. That's where his established level was. I don't know. He might be more of like a 280, 12 to 15 homer guy.
All right. Well,
I'll go Ian Kinsler. He's almost 35.
I was about to say him.
Kinsler? Okay.
I feel like that already happened, too, like 2 years ago, and then he bounced back.
Well, then it didn't happen.
Well, it did. Then he just bounced back again.
So 2018 will be a huge year for Ian Kinsler, basically.
Maybe.
All right. We didn't get to nearly as many emails as I wanted, so tomorrow I will prioritize that a little bit more. Sorry, listeners. Got some draft strategy questions that I want to talk about. And position battles tomorrow, and I'm going to look at some you know, like round 8 to 12 starting pitchers, maybe outfielders as well, and talk about those guys and who has the chance. Like the Jackie Bradley, Matt Kemp group, I think. And let's talk about who has a chance to jump into the next tier. Okay, that's it for the show. For Heath, Chris, and Scott, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Thursday.